Today on Vox Talks, what would happen if Bitcoin succeeds? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. 3 years ago, I spoke to John Danielson about cryptocurrencies, and he explained that, quote, they just don't make sense. Well, today, Bitcoin's 10 times as valuable as it was the last time we spoke, and so, if John was right, this has become a trillion-dollar bubble. But what would the world look like if Bitcoin actually displaced fiat currency? And that's the subject of a new article on VoxEU, and John's here to discuss it. John, welcome back to Vox Talks.
Thank you, Tim, for having me back.
Now, we obviously didn't succeed in talking Bitcoin down last time we spoke. Why does the price just keep going up?
It's just for the oldest human reason, greed. People see the price going up and they say, oh, the price going up, I must jump on this bubble and I want to enjoy some of the benefits. So I think most of it, almost all, is driven by pure speculative greed. You see the price is going up, you decide to buy Bitcoin. Because you buy it, the price goes up and all looks good in the short run. And it makes perfect sense. I mean, so long as you know when to jump off the bandwagon, watch out for the little boy yelling, the emperor has no clothes. But if you stay alert, it makes perfect sense. But I think the price rises are really driven by speculative greed.
But if we were going to imagine that there was a use for Bitcoin that went beyond speculation, is it enough to say that it becomes useful if we can just pay for things with it?
I mean, what I'm always grappling with Bitcoin is, what is the use case? So I'm an economist. Mm-hmm. And of course, we are the dismal science. We are down to earth. And I always ask myself, what is it good for? Mm. At the moment, Bitcoin is not good for anything. It's not used for anything except in tiny, tiny amounts. You can buy your Tesla car with it, but you pay a huge transaction cost. Mm. You're much better off buying almost anything you want just with regular old school fiat money. So what is the use case for Bitcoin? To my mind, it must be used for regular transactions. I must be able to use it to buy my coffee in the morning and for the university to pay my salary in Bitcoin, for my pension to be in Bitcoin. If it's not used for day-to-day economic activity, it seems to have very little use beyond a tiny niche. And then you can't justify the trillion-dollar valuation it has at the moment.
Mm, but there are plenty of people now, and a growing number of people, who hope and really do believe that at some point in the future, it will be just a day-to-day payment mechanism like you described.
I think you have to put the word plenty of people in inverted commas.
Okay.
I mean, of course, there's a loud group of people who say that. When it comes to society, it's a tiny, tiny group. Mm. It's a loud, tiny, tiny group. But in society, there are so many special interest groups who are complaining about everything under the sun. And of course, one of them is the Bitcoin enthusiasts. But at the end of the day, it is really people who are politically or ideologically motivated. Mm-hmm. So the true Bitcoin enthusiasts are the techno-libertarians. People who don't trust the government, who think the central banks and governments are corrupt. In their worldview, they want to replace the existing structure with an uncorruptible technology. Perfectly fine for them, but you can't base an entire monetary system on the ideology of a tiny minority. You need something beyond ideology. You need an economic use case. And that's what I'm really struggling to find.
Mm, but in your piece, you kind of humor them in a way, don't you? Because you imagine a world in which Bitcoin becomes the currency. And so every retailer is like Tesla, and all the Bitcoins in the world could replace all the money. The first thing we got to think about is the number of Bitcoins is limited, isn't it? So are there enough of them to do this?
Of course. I mean, the number of Bitcoins can certainly sustain all the economic activity in the world. But let's think about what that means. And Bitcoin enthusiasts don't like to take the argument to its logical conclusion, which is what I did in my piece. Mm. If Bitcoin becomes the money we use, for you, Tim, to buy a coffee, you need a Bitcoin, right? CEPR has to pay you in Bitcoin. Where will they get the Bitcoin from? They'll buy it from the owners. Mm-hmm. So what happens to Bitcoin? It will skyrocket.
Okay.
Bitcoin might be $50,000, $60,000 at the moment, but that's only in aggregate $1 trillion. To underpin all economic activity in the world, if it really succeeds, Bitcoin has to go up in value by perhaps 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the current owners of Bitcoin become the wealthiest people in the world. I call them the Bitcoin aristocrats. They will literally own all the money in the world. And for the rest of us, we have to scramble to get our tiny amounts of Bitcoin for our daily activity. But every time we do that, the price continues going up, making the Bitcoin aristocrats even more wealthy. And is that a world we want to live in? And my contention is no.
Isn't there an intermediate state, though, where you've got these Bitcoin aristocrats and they could even go and live on their own private island, libertarian island, and everything there is Bitcoin. And the rest of us, we use Bitcoins for some things and ordinary currencies for other things, same as I would use dollars for some things and euros for other things now. Is that coexistence possible?
I don't see the coexistence of really working, because if Bitcoin starts to succeed, we want to want those salaries in Bitcoin, right? The store owner who sells you coffee in the morning, they're going to want you to pay in Bitcoin. You want to keep your pension in Bitcoin. You want to keep your savings in Bitcoin. So the successful money, Bitcoin, would increasingly drive out the unsuccessful money, fiat. And that, to me, a coexistence is an unstable equilibrium. We either end up with Bitcoin failing or Bitcoin succeeding. You can't really have coexistence. And even the analogy between dollars and pound sterling is false. In this country, United Kingdom, we pay for everything in pound sterling. You pay your taxes, you keep your accounting books in it, you buy a coffee, you pay a mortgage in pound sterling. You go to the United States, you pay for everything in dollars. So therefore, in the United Kingdom or any country, two monies at the same time just is unsustainable. One of them will win out. My question was, what happens if Bitcoin wins out? Is that a society we would want to live in? And certainly I would not.
You posit the idea that we'd all have to scramble to get Bitcoins. If there was a longer period of adjustment, though, could not Bitcoin ownership just gradually develop until most of us had it? In the same way as shares used to be owned by a very small proportion of people, and now we are a share-owning democracy.
Of course, you are right. I mean, this wouldn't happen overnight. It would take years and decades if it were to happen. But it doesn't change the underlying economics of it. Those who own Bitcoin, and there are certain individuals who owns quite a lot of Bitcoin, they will still own the world's money, right? So that is really what we are discussing. So if you want money from the people who own money, they want something in return, right? So all of us will have to give up something. And at least at the moment, the Bank of England provides the pound sterling to us, right? There is no owner of the pound sterling, but at least it's done on the behalf of all of us who live in the United Kingdom. Those of us who are citizens of this country, right? We have a stake. We are stakeholders in the pound sterling. We will not be a stakeholder in the Bitcoin world. And of course, the difference is to other super wealthy people. At least Jeff Bezos created a fantastic company called Amazon. We can debate whether it's worth his wealth, right? But at least he made a contribution to society. The Bitcoin aristocrats, all they did was to buy early, and their wealth will surpass Jeff Bezos by a considerable margin. And of course, the end result will be social upheaval. And then we have to think about those who live on fixed income, the retirees, the pension funds, whose wealth is tied up in pound sterling. And there's an interesting historical analogy to look at here. During the gold standard, when money was fixed, who benefited from the gold standard? It was the wealthy classes, the property classes, the workers. They lost out because of the persistent deflation of the gold standard era. So any monetary system where the amount of money is fixed benefits the property owners, the wealthy, at the expense of the poor. And of course, we know from history that when we had a system in this country and other countries, the result was persistent social upheaval. Fights between the property classes and the rest. And we would end up the same if Bitcoin succeeded. But fortunately, I don't think it will, because the internal contradictions prevent it from succeeding.
How about a scenario in which increasingly Bitcoin was used in some sectors to buy and sell real things? And because those real things exist, then it doesn't become quite so volatile and its price stabilizes and it becomes much more ordinary, if you like. Is that possible?
Well, which sectors, Tim, do you have in mind? Because that is important.
You're the expert, John. Yeah. Are there any?
No. I can't really see it. Of course, you can buy things today with Bitcoin, mm-hmm. right? You can buy a Tesla car. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that you and I, we are paid in pounds sterling. So if we want to buy a Tesla with Bitcoin, we first have to convert our pounds sterling into Bitcoin. That is, buy it off somebody. Price goes up because of supply and demand. And then we have to pay a high transaction cost because Tesla knows the price of Bitcoin is volatile. So you have to pay a lot more just to use it. I don't see any reason why you would want to do that. Fiat works perfectly well. I mean, we have a system that works quite well. We know exactly what we get. We have predictability. You get your money every month. You have your expenses. You can plan your monthly expenses. You have an idea what your pension is. You know what your house is worth, what you can buy and sell it for. You have a lot of predictability with the existing system. Is there any advantage in Bitcoin in any of that? Are there any transactions where you'll be better off with Bitcoin and existing fiat money? I just can't see them.
India's government's been in the news in the last couple of weeks with its plan to ban cryptocurrencies outright. From what you're saying here, it sounds like you might think that's a good idea.
Bitcoin poses a challenge for any government, right? Because one, a key reason why governments don't like Bitcoin is they want to control the money in their own country. There's a reason why money is called legal tender. And some countries want to control illegal activity. They want to control money transfers for good or bad, right? But governments want to do that. So I think the Indian government, which is one of the first, not the first to do that, the Indian government is just slightly ahead of the curve. We see a lot more of that.
Oh.
So if Bitcoin starts to succeed, we will see more and more governments doing exactly the same because money is legal tender.
Mm-hmm.
And to go into a slightly parallel discussion, central bank digital currencies, the reason why governments are moving to that domain is primarily because they don't want alternative payment systems. They're all haunted by the memory of PayPal 20 years ago that came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want another PayPal type system to involve. They want to be ahead of the curve. So in a way, one benefit of Bitcoin is that it has forced the authorities to up the game to improve the payment systems, which is all good. But at the end of the day, what the Indian government is doing is something I suspect a lot more governments will be doing in the years to come.
I see. The US government in the euro area, the UK government could say, sorry, no more Bitcoin.
They might not want to use that much force, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, right, sorry, what we have to keep in mind that you have to pay your taxes in fiat.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep your company accounts in fiat,
mm-hmm.
right? In this country, that means pounds sterling. And you don't need much beyond that because if you really have to do your fundamental economic activity in the fiat money of your country, that precludes adoption. So they don't really have to ban it. They just have to make sure those fundamental parts of the system remain fiat. So what some countries are doing, like India, they're worried about private wealth being hidden away. They're worried about money transfers. So you're transferring money out of Indian rupees into US dollars via fiat and vice versa. That's not a concern in Britain. So a lot of the concerns India has with money and why they are moving in this direction is not a concern in the euro era US or the UK. But if and when that becomes an issue, be ready for the government to step in and take harsher measures.
John, we don't give out investment advice on Vox Talks, but always when I do a podcast about the value of Bitcoin, I'm quoting a new number for the value of Bitcoin, and it's always higher than the last one. Should I really be buying Bitcoin now? I feel like I really ought to get in on this.
Well, Tim, it all depends, right? If you have the extra cash and you are aware of the risks you're taking, by all means, go ahead. I mean, if Bitcoin continues to go up and if you invest in it right now, you'll become wealthier. Good for you. I mean, I wish you the best. Just stay alert, watch the news and be ready to jump off the bubble early, right? If you think you can do that, why not go ahead and buy it? You might find it interesting and fun at the same time. So by all means, I wouldn't.
I think the important phrase on this is if I have some spare money to do it. So I think I'm going to be staying out of the market for now. John, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on.
John's article about this, it's called What Happens If Bitcoin Succeeds, and it was published in Vox EU on the 26th of February 2021. You might also want to listen to one of our previous Vox Talks, and that was from the 15th of January when I talked to Neil Gandal about the microeconomics of cryptocurrencies. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring in the most innovative economic research every week. So subscribe to Vox Talks and you'll never miss an episode. And remember, 12 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.